Well, good morning, fellow cosmic travelers. We're hurtling through space right now. You know, that's one thing I've never really been able to get a firm grip on is the fact that even though I feel like I'm just sitting in a chair in my office here at Gateway, I am actually moving at 1,000 miles an hour. That's pretty cool. And if you don't believe it, just look it up. You know, I used to have a professor at the University of Tennessee. I took a class called Economic Geography. If any of you all went to UT back in the 70s or 60s, you probably heard about Wild Bill Cherry. That was his name. His name is actually Bill Cherry, but his nickname was Wild Bill. And he would make statements of fact and then immediately followed by, "And if you don't believe it, check it out." That's exactly what his voice sounded like. And he was a professor at the University of Tennessee. I got an A in that class. You know what? I think everybody got an A in that class. That's why most people took it. So yesterday was a very nostalgic day. I decided to go out to Mom and Dad's house and explore a little bit. Actually climbed into the attic. I hadn't been up there in a long, long time. I'm thinking 20 years. It looked like a tornado swept through there with all the boxes. There's still some of the moving boxes that we used with American Van Lines, I think it was called. Or no, it was Mayflower at the time, when we moved from St. Albans, West Virginia, to Greenville, Tennessee in 1971. So some of those boxes were a little bit worse for wear. So I climbed over, you know, I'm not as nimble as I used to be, and it was somewhat painful, but I did climb around and got back into the back, and I discovered several surprises. My Major Matt Mason PlayStation was still there. That was a space toy that I got probably when I was, I don't know, 10, 12. It's there. And found some extra Matchbox cars and Corgi toys and the box that used to hold my dingo boots that I used to wear back in the 70s when I was in high school. I don't think I'd be too keen on dingoes right now. I'm too old for that. But, you know, that was just so good for me. I found a box of old films, I mean, like 8mm. And Super 8, and I found that the device that my dad used to use to splice the film and to preview it and splice and stuff like that. And then I said, well, if that's here, then there's got to be an 8mm projector somewhere. So I dug around, looked in every closet, found it, and plugged it in, and it worked. You know, light, everything's just fine, so that's going to be fun. You know, the problem is just finding enough time to be able to do it, and, you know, I can hang up a sheet. I can't find the screen anywhere. If any of y'all have an old screen that you want to donate to me, then I will be glad to accept it. I called my junk dealer, the guy that just bought a bunch of old Mazda signs and stuff like that from me. I said, you know, you wouldn't happen to have an old screen, you know, like a slide projector screen, a movie screen. He said, you know, I really don't right now, but Lenny, they go for about $10 to $15. And I said, well, I'd rather do that than order a brand new one for $200 from Amazon. So if any of y'all have one, then just let me know because I don't want to go out and buy one. I'd prefer that it be in decent shape so I can see these films in all their glory. I also went to see one of my old buddies yesterday, Kent Bewley. He was the Bewley family, pretty much, I don't know, they were all in the car business at one time. Joe Bewley was the owner of the Chevy store in Greenville until 1971, and he and my dad negotiated a deal, and my dad became the Chevrolet dealer. Kent Bewley and his dad were in the car business. His dad, as you know, back in the 40s and 50s, they had the Pontiac Cadillac dealership on Summer Street in Greenville. That building is still there. And Kent is planning on redoing it. He's established a car museum down on Main Street. I would call it West Main Street in Greenville. If you want to see a pretty cool little car museum, I mean, he's got a really neat setup down there. You just get on Main Street and head towards Newport in Greenville, and you will pass it. It's called the, what is it called? Just car museum, I guess. But it is, he's got an old-timey gas station set up with original pumps and equipment, including the gasoline truck. I think he has a DeLorean down there and multiple old race cars and Camaros and Mustangs and some really exotic stuff. So it's worth going to the car museum in Greenville and check it out. But he and I got together and we were reminiscing a little bit. I remember when we came to Greenville in 1971, there were 7 new car dealerships in Greenville. Now there are 3. And several of the brands that were sold in Greenville are gone. There was only 1 import dealer in Greenville, and that was Datsun. And they had the Chrysler Dodge, I don't think they had Jeep, Chrysler Dodge Plymouth and Datsun. And that was pretty much it from an import standpoint. There was a Simca dealer. You ever heard of a Simca? S-I-M-C-A. One of my high school buddies had a Simca. We used to go cruising around at lunchtime. We weren't supposed to, but we did. We'd go to the bean barn, get us some beans and cornbread, and maybe even a hamburger or two, and then we would go cruise around in his Simca. And it was not real pleasurable. You've got 5 pretty big basketball players in a car about the size of a Datsun B210. And that's a recipe for a disaster. But we made it back, and we survived that regardless. We should have taken my Vega. I had a Vega camback. You know what that is? That's a Vega station wagon. And don't ask why a 16 or 17-year-old would want to drive a station wagon. Can you imagine any reasons for that? Okay, we won't go there. So before I get myself in trouble, let's take our first break. I don't know about you, but my favorite car to cruise around in the 70s with my girlfriend, who I ended up marrying, so I have no guilt, was something with a bench seat in the front, because I wanted that girl right there beside me so I could put my arm around her as we cruised the Burger Chef and the Pizza Hut. And then back to the Burger Chef, and then back to the Pizza Hut. That's what we did. That was our existence, cruising back and forth. And then we get tired of doing that, and then we'd go parking. So, you know, that's my high school career. Not really. We did have a lot of fun, though, and my dad, if my mom and dad only knew, well, they know now, I guess, but they had my mom had a Monte Carlo, which was no fun because it didn't have a bench seat. My dad drove a Caprice convertible with a big 454 V8. It was kind of a medium blue, white top, white interior, bench seat in the front. That thing would move. And I'd put the top down when it was warm enough and cruise around Greenville and just really enjoyed that. I had major hair back then, too. I don't know if you probably, I don't know if you're a Facebook friend of mine, but it looked like I had a helmet on. But we all had a look going back then. All right, let's get down to some car business here. You know, I've talked all year, maybe 2 years, about the value of your used car. You should be proud that you held on to your used car, your car or SUV or truck. Used cars cost 40.5% more than last year, even as gas prices are rising. You know, it really doesn't matter what you own. It's worth more than it was last year. Now, your car may not have gone up 40%. That's the average. But think about this. Some vehicles went up 70, 80, 90%. You know, you can actually buy a vehicle and drive it off the lot and flip it and make money right now. That's never happened. You remember the old saying that if you bought a new vehicle, as soon as you drove it off the lot, you know, it lost 20% of its value? That used to be true. It's not true anymore. Now, it may be true again. I just don't know when. But I don't think it's going to be anytime soon, folks, because this chip shortage, whether it's real or sometimes I think maybe to a certain degree manufactured, then as long as it's around, then you got nothing to worry about as far as your trade. Now, you may not be able to find the exact vehicle that you want. Therefore, you might need to order it. Gas prices as of this past Sunday were averaging $3.49 a gallon. That's up nearly a dollar from last year. The Consumer Price Index shows that gasoline has gone up 40%, just like used cars. It also shows that transportation services such as buses, trains, airlines, taxis, they've increased a little bit, 5.6%. So inflation is real. The price for new vehicles in January has gone up by 12.2% since the same time last year. I don't know what wages have gone up. Maybe they've gone up some. The number of used car transactions have also grown. According to Auto One, a used car marketplace, in the past year, the marketplace has had approximately 330,000 vehicle transactions. And the average price of a new vehicle, folks, I remember a couple years ago, it was in the low 30s. The average price of a new vehicle is edging toward $46,000. Now, what does that, part of the responsibility of that is the lack of incentives. There just aren't any. There are a few, but not many. I've got a guy that ordered an F-150 from me before the end of last year. So by ordering it, he got a $1,000 ordering incentive. Okay, so he has that in his pocket. His truck should be in, what is this, February the 16th? So his truck should be in just about any day. We ordered it, I think, back in September of last year. So it's been a while. He also had two direct mail offers, one for $2,500, another for $1,500. So he's got $4,000 in direct mail offers plus the $1,000 ordering bonus. So he's getting a pretty good rebate. Now, am I going to sell it to him for a good price? Of course. You know, used to, anybody ordered a vehicle for me, I would sell it to him for invoice, which is what we paid, and then we got a 3% holdback. So we are making a profit. A lot of dealers try to make you believe that they're not making a profit if they sell it for invoice, and the average consumer would think, well, what's the invoice? What's that mean? Well, it's a number that used to mean something. You know, if somebody invoices you for something, then that's your bill, right? But in the car business, we talk about invoice. That's what the dealer originally pays for the vehicle, and then they get money back from the manufacturer in the form of something called a holdback, which on domestic vehicles, it's 3%. On import vehicles, it's anywhere from 1 to 1.5%. A lot of the manufacturers have eliminated holdback, like Lincoln. You know, it's one of the reasons I decided not to be a Lincoln dealer anymore, because they thought they were something special. And plus, Ford was willing to buy back my franchise from me at a really substantial number. So I just said, okay, here, you can have it. I mean, we weren't selling any Lincolns anyway. I did have some people get mad at me. I had some customers and a couple radio show listeners said, why'd you get rid of Lincoln? That was rude. And I said, well, they paid me. They didn't want me to be a Lincoln dealer anymore. They paid me good money for it. The last 30 Lincolns I sold, I lost money on, and I know that you find that hard to believe, but it's true. I made money on the trade-ins, but I didn't make money on the Lincolns because they weren't, you know, selling very well, and they had big incentives on them, and Lincoln was wanting me to build them a new showroom, which was not going to happen, and so I just let Johnson City Ford be the Lincoln dealer for the Tri-Cities and gave up the franchise. And, you know, I also told the people who own Lincolns, I can still do all your warranty work. And that's true. If you own a Lincoln, Gateway Ford, any Ford dealer can do your warranty work on your Lincoln. You don't have to go to Johnson City Ford Lincoln. You can come to Gateway. We'll do your warranty work. So they really weren't losing me from that standpoint. I just couldn't sell them a new one. I've still sold several. I just call my buddy up at Johnson City Ford and say, hey, I've got a customer wanting a Lincoln. Will you sell it to him and take care of him? And he says, well, sure. And so I work well with all my dealer friends. You know, if I've got somebody that wants to buy a Chevrolet, I just call Champion, talk to Tim or Andy, and say, hey, I got somebody wanting a Chevrolet. Will you take care of them? And they say yes. And they'll shoot me a nice Harry and David basket or something for doing that. You know what Harry and David is? It's a basket full of food. And, you know, it's kind of stuff you get for Christmas. Or they'll send me a ham. or a gift certificate to Mahoney's, which is my favorite. Okay, what else? Oh, my truck was recalled yesterday. I got a notice from Ford saying my 2022 F-150 is recalled. Wonder where I'm going to get that taken care of. Oh, okay. I'll just get it done at Gateway. You know, if you get a recall, you need to pay attention to it and get it done. Just call the dealership where you bought it if you want to, or if not, you can just call me, and I'll take care of you. We'll do it down here at Gateway. As long as it's a Ford or a Nissan, we can do your recalls for you. But if you're driving a Tesla, I can't help you. 817,000 Teslas were just recalled, just in case you are driving one. What else? A Hyundai, 357,000 Santa Fes and Tucsons were recalled. Kia is recalling 126,000 Sportages. So, you know, dealers are responsible for getting these recalls done. You might get a notice from the manufacturer and then some follow-up notices from Ford or Kia or whoever is the dealer, and they really do want to get these done. Now, one of the reasons they do is because the dealers get paid to do recalls. So it's not like there's an ulterior motive, though, because the manufacturer, especially if it's a safety related, and that's what all recalls are, they're all safety related, they won't recall it a vehicle because moldings are falling off the side. Of course, cars don't have moldings anymore. But for trim-related things, unless it's a safety thing, they won't do a recall. Did you know that? See, that's what you learn on this show. Chrysler is recalling 2019 and 2020 Rams, 2500s, 3500s, chassis cabs. Apparently, the windshield wiper arms may loosen, which could cause the wipers to function improperly and reduce the driver's visibility. That's 171,789 units are affected. So just thought you might want to know that. And here's something else you might want to know. You ever had a problem with your windshield fogging up? Like when it's kind of rainy outside and cold and you're just kind of driving down the road and you can't see and you're constantly having to wipe the windshield and smear all that water all over your windshield? Why won't that go away when you have your defroster on? Well, I'll tell you right after the break. Now, some of you probably already know why your windows are fogging up on the inside. You know, you get a bunch of people in there. That'll fog them up as well, all that hot air coming out of their lungs. But there is a way to clear that off, and a lot of people don't think about it. Even though you have your heat on and your defrost, sometimes it won't go away until you turn on your air conditioning. That's right. All you have to do is push that little AC button, and that mist or fog that's on your interior of your windows will just magically disappear. And do you have to have it on cold in order for that to work? No, you don't. Your air conditioning system basically sucks the moisture out of the air, and that's what it's designed to do. So try that next time. I guarantee it'll work, just like a dehumidifier will work. And here's a couple other things. Do you have run flat tires on your car? You know what those are? That's when your tires lose the air. They get a puncture, and the tire stays up. For some reason or another, it does not go flat. Well, then you have run flat tires on your car. Now, if you're driving a BMW or Volvo or a Mercedes or some of these higher-end cars have run flats, but there's some lower-end cars that have run flats as well. And, you know, they're good. They're good tires. It's just sidewalls are a whole lot stiffer, and it will hold up. It won't collapse like most normal tires do. And it's not a bad idea, especially since most cars don't have spares anymore. So maybe the next time you get new tires, you might want to ask the tire store if what the price would be on a set of run flats. You know, people don't have flat tires like they used to. Tire technology is way better than it used to be. You know, you don't see as many cars on the side of the road with people jacking them up, putting on the spare. Like I said, most cars don't have spares. But this is something that you might want to check on. And again, remember, if you get new tires, if you change tire sizes or whatever, make sure that you go by the pressure that's on the listed in the owner's manual or on the door jamb in your car. Don't go by what it says on the side of the tire. That's too much air pressure. That's the maximum pressure that the tire can take. It's not what your car was designed for. So make sure you go by the pressure on the car. You know what the engineers said. They're smarter. And the last little tip. I had a guy in my cleanup shop recently, and no, I didn't fire him. We had a GT500, brand new Mustang came in, very high dollar car, about 90 grand. He's back there rinsing that thing off with a pressure washer. That's the shortcut to termination right there. Although he didn't get, he actually put it on the pinstripes, or not pinstripes, but the stripes that go down the hood, very wide stripes, and blew part of them off. I was not happy, but, you know, I handled it well, I think, and we said, you just don't use a pressure washer on a new car, and folks, you shouldn't either. You know, and if you're using a pressure washer, don't get it close to your car. Stand back. That's a lot of pressure. Now, if you're, you know, pressure washing wheels or something like that, the undercarriage of your vehicle, the wheel well, you know, inside the wheel well, that's a good place for a pressure washer. But not on your paint and not on stripes and not around your windows either, because you'll blow water inside your car. Just be careful with the pressure washer. And cars really deserve to be hand washed. You don't have time. I realize that. Just, you know, if you have to go through a car wash after a big snowstorm and get all the salt off or something like that, every once in a while, that's fine, every 90 days or so. But, you know, hand wash your car. I know you don't have time, but find somebody who can do it. All you're going to do by going through the car wash is put micro scratches all over your car. And eventually the paint's going to look bad and you're wondering why it doesn't shine anymore. Well, that's why. It's because you've been made too many trips to the car wash. And all you car wash owners out there, I'm sorry, but you know I'm telling the truth. Just one more thing you're going to learn on this radio show. Thanks for listening to this edition of My Car Guru, and we will see you tomorrow.